listening to Paddy Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to Paddy Pigskin. I am your host, Gary Somerville, in association with DraftKings. It's episode 44 on your device, but technically it's episode 50. I only realised this earlier on. So a fantastic milestone that we've reached. I have Jer with me, just myself and Jer, just like I was on episode 1. It's going to be like that for episode 50. And also this week, bringing back Paddy's picks. So if you are into fantasy football, like I am, crazy into it, we are bringing back Paddy's picks for 2018 with a little twist on it, which I will talk about at the end of the show. So we got our pick six games from last week. We have our two-point conversion and Paddy's picks. So let's get after it. Congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hate and say we're changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it. For episode 44, it's going to be dedicated to former Jet and Redskin John Diesel Riggins, or the Diesel Rig, born in Seneca, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Kansas, in 1949. He was a three-sport athlete at Centralia High School in Kansas. He played basketball, football, and ran the 100 meters. He went on to play his college ball at the University of Kansas, where he was an All-American. He was also a two-time All-Big A Conference first-team selection. He was drafted in the first round, sixth overall, by the New York Jets in the 1971 draft. And as a rookie, he became the first Jet to lead the team in both rushing and receiving. He played 5 years in New York for Gangrene before signing with the Redskins in 1976. He'd go on to play 10 seasons with the Redskins, despite sitting out the 1980 season over a contract dispute. So we can see with Le'Veon Bell, even this shit was happening back in the 1980s. Among his accomplishments are comeback player of the year in 1978, Pro Bowl selection and a Super Bowl 17 ring and MVP when the Redskins beat the Dolphins 27-17. Stats-wise, he finished with 11,352 rushing yards, 3.9 rushing yard average, and 104 rushing touchdowns. He's a part of the NFL 1980s All-Decade team, and he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1992. So episode 44, dedicated to John Diesel Riggins. Let's get Jer on and let's get chatting football.
Look, I just flipped the switch. Flip, flip. I don't know nobody else that's doing this. Body start to drop, ayy, hit the floor. Now they wanna know me since I hit the top. Hey, this a rollie, not a stop. Watch shit, don't ever stop. This the flow that got the block hot. Shit got super hot. Hey, give me my respect. Give me my respect. I just took it left like on ambidex. Yeah. Bitch, I moved through London with the Euro steps. Got a sneaker deal and I ain't break a sweat. Catch me cause I'm gone. Out of there, I'm gone. High, go from 6 to 23 like I'm LeBron. Serving up a pack. Serving up a pack. Niggas pulling gimmicks cause they scared of rap. Ay. Funny how they shook. Ay.
So I have Jer here beside me. How's it going, Jer?
I'm doing alright. Thanks for asking.
If people are wondering, Gary, you sound less animated this week. It's two reasons. I have a wisdom tooth problem. Wisdom teeth trouble again. So that's fucking painful. And we have just come out with a Red Sox game. We left early because we wanted to do some podcasting, but it's pretty late here in Boston now. What time is it?
10:20.
It's quite late, so we're getting shit done a little later than intended. So excuse the lack of animation this week. Maybe we should have had more beers in here with us, but
have to keep the fans happy though.
We do. We got to get this podcast out. So we will crack on with our pick six from week three. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna go through six games that we thought were interesting and juicy from both a play standpoint and a storyline standpoint. Sort of, you don't know the ones I've picked, so this is just going to be totally mm-hmm. sprung on you. The first one I picked was the overtime slobber knocker in the NFC South. That was, of course, the Saints and Falcons, 43-37 in favor of the Saints. Breeze had a day.
He had a great day.
He completed 39 of 49 passes for 396 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he rushed for 2. One was very impressive where he just basically fucking bounced off someone.
The safety and the DB.
Yeah,
came in,
he did quite well.
Spin move.
It's just weird to see Drew Brees doing at his age, you know. And he only needs 417 yards now to move past Peyton Manning in the all-time passing yardage.
Probably happen the next game.
Yeah, against my Giants, which we'll get to later on. And Michael Thomas had himself another fucking fantastic day. And I looked at the stats. He has a mind-boggling 38 catches through 3 games. So he's really starting to step up now as one of the top five receivers. We knew he was close. I think he's now firmly cemented himself in the top 5. Like, he's ahead of Julio, he's ahead of Odell, a lot of those guys. So he just seems to be a reception machine, and the Falcons just hadn't got an answer for him.
Yeah, I think the Saints offense lends itself with people getting open as well.
Mm.
And it's a very, pass heavy offense they have. Even with Kamara as well, I know they do the handoffs. A lot of the passes to him are little bubble screens,
yeah.
You know. When Ingram comes back, it could fall onto a run-heavy game then, you know, to preserve Breeze's arm.
Yeah.
Because you can see he's lost a zip, a mile or two in his zip, so.
Yeah, definitely need to kind of keep him fresh throughout the
season. That way you keep the defense off the field as well, so you're extending your drive, so you're going to need that.
That's it. And the world got to see rookie wide receiver Calvin Ridley. Another Alabama product, mm-hmm. just like his counterpart on the other side of the field, Julio Jones. He exploded for 146 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he won me a few quid in our DraftKings league because he's the only reason I won it. I think it was $56 in the end. So, Calvin Ridley, thank you very much for winning me beer money. But yeah, just a fantastic game, wasn't it? Like,
great game. Back and forth nonstop.
80 points. Can't ask for more in a divisional game than 80 points.
No, you can't. On overtime. It felt like Super Bowl against the Patriots. When the Saints went down and got the equalizer score, and then they won the toss for overtime, he was like, Breeze got this.
Yeah, so they got a scalp over their divisional rivals. So game 2 in our pick 6, we'll talk about your boy, Prince Harry.
Oh, yeah.
His return from his ACL tear versus the Colts, and they won 2016. What do you think of his performance?
Unfortunately, I was fucking ripshit at Fox because I got the notification saying it was live on Fox. And I went to Fox and it was the Niners Chiefs up here. But the minute you hit New Jersey, it was
You should know Fox are full of shite now at this stage anyway.
Yeah, definitely. So I didn't really see much until he came on the field through the red zone. But he had a very first good drive down the field.
That's right.
A couple of passes to Ertz, then to Goddard in the end zone.
79 yards on 12 plays, that.
Yeah, the offense dried out a little bit there for a while. You know, he got sacked a couple of times. But it was good to see that he was getting tackled and getting up again, you know.
Yeah.
The Colts, as I said on last week's podcast, they're not a great team of talent, but they're a bunch of guys that will play for each other.
Mm.
Marcus Hunt killing everyone. And
literally, what did he get? 3 tackles for loss, a strip sack, and a fumble recovery. So a nice little day at the office.
Bengals must be thinking, where was this guy when we had him, you know? But I think we let them into that game. Like, they didn't really pose much until, like, Luck through that little touchdown pass in the corner.
Yeah.
And then you could see that they had to take him out. Now, he said he could have made the throw at the end where they took him out, but that Jacoby Brissett had the stronger arm.
Yeah.
He nearly threw it out in the fucking end zone.
Yeah. I like how Luck afterwards in the... Or maybe it was a press conference a day or two later or something. He basically came out, he was joking about it, really. He just said, here, listen, Brissett was able to throw it forward to me. Like, he didn't really make a big deal of it.
He just said
you can fucking throw the ball forward to me, so we got him in there. And Wentz's stat line there, 25 for 37, 255 yards, 1 TD, 1 int.
Mm-hmm.
And they limited his rushing. They only gave him 3, well, there was only 3 rushes for him.
Yeah.
So they obviously didn't want him fucking running too much.
No, not too
back. And that defense, in fairness to the Colts, like you said, Marcus Hunt has stepped up. Their defense has gotten a lot better. They were a bit of a laughing stock last year and a year ago
as well.
They're
not going to break out the Pro Bowlers this year, but they'll be a tough defense to beat down.
Yeah, so it was a good win there on his return. Kept you happy anyway. We got to give the Dolphins some love in pick number 3. They are 3-0. They have the Pats on deck this week in New England. Down the road. Tannehill had a successful home return against, in fairness, respectable 11th ranked pass defense in the Raiders. So he wasn't going up against a Mickey Mouse defense on the back end there. And he had 70 and a 23, 289 yards, 3 touchdowns, no ints.
Yeah.
Pretty good box score for him. And they had that double reverse pass as well from Albert Wilson to, is it Jakeem or Hakeem?
I have no idea.
Jakeem Grant. Yeah, made a move for me. I like seeing a little bit of trickery in there. Mm-hmm. Adam Gay styled up a nice one there. So yeah, the Dolphins, man. We all had the Dolphins.
I still think they're pretenders.
Yeah, you know, you think they'll get found out this week?
Like the first two games, they've won. They were outplayed by the other teams. The other teams threw interceptions, made mistakes. The Raiders should have had this game closed out. Like Gruden, fucking 7 points up. Jordy Nelson's tearing them apart. You're thinking, what's going on here?
Nobody saw that coming.
And then they get down to the goal line. And he ends up going for it in fourth and one and third. And third and one and fourth and one. Just called two terrible plays. And they got stopped. You know, no points at all. And then, fucking Dolphins went down, marched down and got a score, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, as I said in last week's podcast, they're great for the first couple of quarters. And they all start tiring out in the fourth.
Just like another second half collapse. And it was bad to see when Carr said he came out and he said he wishes William Hayes just landed on him with his body weight, because William Hayes kind of pulled up and had that weird awkward body weight shift and he fucking tore his ACL. Now he's out for the year. So it seems to be a lot of players on the defensive side of all are unsure when they approach the quarterback. They're like, what the fuck do I do?
Well, like the whole preseason took balance with the helmet to helmet rule, and this one just kind of glided over, and now that we've hit the actual main season, there's no helmet to helmet issues or questions. It's all about putting your body weight on the QB. And as we discussed with Clay Matthews, whatever, the guy's 6'4", 260. Like, the minute he fucking hits you, you're moving.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, yeah.
When you think
it's hard
about,
to stop that.
But when you think about who the QBs he's hit, I can't remember. The first game, I believe, that was the right call. The second game against Cousins, and then this game against Alex Smith. They may be tall QBs, but they're not built QBs. Like, if he hit Cam Newton like that, I bet you that flag's not being thrown.
Yeah. Which Cam Newton, in fairness, has said that in the past. He said because he's a physical type of quarterback, he doesn't get in as many flags.
But then fucking Rod Payne absolutely fucking suplexed Rodgers in that game and fucking nothing throwing, you know?
Yeah, so the inconsistency there seems to be a factor. What the fuck happened, speaking of Minnesota, what the fuck happened there?
Vegas had a 17-point favorite, so they lost by what?
27-6. And it was 27-zip. At one stage,
halfway through the third quarter, the Vikings got past the 50-yard line. Yeah. But if you Cousins fumbled the ball inside his own 10-yard line twice, you're going to be punished for it.
True, you're going to give up a score somehow. That blew apart everyone's betting accumulators.
Here's the thing, right? And it might have been Chris Wessling said this, or somebody said this. This is the NFL. This is not college football where you can put 60 points on a team. This is the NFL. They're professionals. You know, so given it seems like they're 17-point favorites, grand. But bear in mind, these are professionals that are coming to work, you know?
Yep.
It's not like a college team where you get Penn State against some Mickey Mouse college.
I hope you're not referring to Ohio State this weekend, eh? Fucking Mickey Mouse college. And we saw Josh Allen, that viral video of him jumping over people, which was pretty impressive for a guy.
Before that, the first touchdown, you know, where he outran Anthony Barr and like stretched his body to the max, which must have been touching 7 feet at that stage to get the ball inside the pylon.
Serious wingspan.
Then he leaped Anthony Barr, who's 6'5".
It's not supposed to happen. Like, the Vikings O-line worries me. They were getting bullied around. Like the fact that they traded for a backup from the Giants says not a lot for them.
I liked a lot of what the Bills did on the defense, because nobody's seen it coming. And Matt Milano, who's a local kid here from BC, had a fucking field day. Just was cleaning up in there and everything. And this is the Bills without their main running, their running game as well. The Vikings just...
No shady,
Just couldn't seem to get anything going at all.
And yeah, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles and 46 yards of offense. That was just in the first half. Madness. So the Bills really had their number. And just to go back to Josh Allen, he had a good day both through the air and on the ground. 50 and a 22, 196 yards and a touchdown.
But they're the good thing is they're playing to him his talents.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Cam Newton, right? This guy's an athlete. Absolutely. You have to let him use his legs.
Yeah.
As
well. He had like 10 rushes, 39 yards, 2 touchdowns. So 4 yards average, not bad.
Yeah.
You just run the ball three times with your quarterback and you have a first down. The Chiefs, pick five, beat the 49ers 38-27.
Yep.
As long as Pat Mahomes keeps balling out, we got to keep chatting about him because he's fucking fantastic to watch. And the Chiefs
13 TDs, three games, and he could have had 15. You know, there was a few drops. A couple of people.
By halftime, I think they stressed this heavily over the weekend. He had broken Peyton Manning's record for the most scoring passes in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So he already has a nice little kind of award there. And another stat I found fantastic was he has thrown touchdowns to 9 different receivers already.
I think the record's 13.
In a season.
Well, that's in a season.
Yeah, and he's thrown to 9 through fucking 3 weeks. So really, really impressive. He had another good day, 24-38. Few incompletions there that he would want back. But flawless, really. 314 yards, 3 touchdowns, no wins.
Yeah, very good game. You know, moved around well in the pocket.
And we spoke about that play where he scrambled around, went left to right. I think it was 20 yards or 25 yards. They had some tracker on NFL total access. And he found, was it Watkins in the back of the end zone or was it Conley? It was Watkins or Conley. But like that kind of playmaking ability, like Alex Smith didn't have that at all. He's a completely different quarterback.
That's a sack or throwing the ball away.
Like he scrambled around, threaded the needle and made the score at the end. So yeah, just fantastic to watch. And on the other side, Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm.
That was awful to see. Like he was just scrambling to make a play really.
Well,
and
he didn't need to do it.
Yeah.
He could have went out of bounds and he decided to stay in for what the extra 5 inches he may have fucking gotten on that play.
Mm. And that was all it took.
So who knows, you know.
You reckon they're in the market for a QB? We spoke about this, the Barry. Like.
Yeah, I dropped it to the group last night. Would it make sense them trading for Tyrod Taylor?
Like,
Baker's the starter now in Cleveland. They've got Drew Stanton there. You trade for Tyrod, he's going to be good at those bootlegs and the RPOs. He's only on a year contract, so you can get him for another year until Jimmy G comes back. Because at the minute now, they're irrelevant. Nobody's going to be paying attention to San Francisco because C.J. Beathard couldn't do it last year, and they're working out Tom Savage. Like, are you kidding me? Just like Barry's fucking thing was fucking tank the season, go 2-14. You know, it's like that's
I think
great
the Giants are competing with you there for the fucking tank awards.
So I don't know. Like I know Shanahan's great and all, but like it couldn't be done with C.J. Beathard. You need somebody competent.
Yeah.
So it's,
and they nearly lost Breida as well. Yeah. He nearly went down. That was very worrying, like, to add to Jimmy G and McKinnon already.
Jimmy G and McKinnon, the two biggest offseason signings, are gone before week three ends.
Very, very bad look for the 49ers, I feel, for them. And the last of our pick sixes, got to chat about the LA Derby because it was the first time there was two teams from LA playing each other
in
since.
In 1994, Barry. Yes.
1994.
Great stop.
LA Rams beat the Chargers 35-23. And as we saw during the game and after the game, the Rams kind of paid a heavy price there. Talib needs ankle surgery. Last time I checked, 4 to 6 weeks. Marcus Peters initially was said 2 to 4 weeks, but apparently now he's day-to-day, which I find very fucking surprising. But he had a calf injury as well. And geez, the Rams were a machine. They put up 521 yards and 33 first downs. So, like, Jared Goff there really is, like, excelling in that offense now because he knows he has the defense on the other end.
Got the defense standing behind him. He's got
McVay's
offensive play calling. And he's come on again a little bit from last year. Like, last year it was all around he's a system quarterback. McVay's talking to him when he's at the line of scrimmage and letting him know what pass needs to be thrown if there's a certain look once the ball's snapped. I've seen a couple of plays this season where you can see he's made the decision himself. Before, where he made that window's too tight, he's putting the ball in there. And it's great. And just, I seen Cooks got there and he was obviously tired. He went down at the 1 yard line. And I seen a crazy stat the other day. So he's having a much better season with the Rams than he ever had with the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I seen a crazy stat the other day. Receivers that haven't caught a touchdown, Odell, Julio, Cooks. All these people, they're getting the yards to get you down there. They're just not getting it in when you've got a machine like Gurley sitting there.
Julio had a similar situation last year. He was getting the yards. He just couldn't get the touchdowns.
Yeah. So even in flag football on Sunday, the guys were referring to this kid as Julio because he'll get you the yards. He just won't get you the touchdown. You know?
And just to reiterate the way that Goff has excelled, you said he has all these different weapons. Like it was Woods. I think he had 10 receptions there against the Chargers. before that was Cooks, and he has Gourley, who has had some monster performances, and kind of is, he's, you can't really scheme against someone like Gourley, because he's just so good in the screen game,
physical
and
guy,
just and say, straight running.
Yeah.
Very, very hard. The Chargers, fairness, the two games they've played so far that they've lost have been to undefeated teams. So they've had a tough schedule based on record so far, but they need to get Bosa back. That's their pass rusher. He
yeah.
gets the pressure on the QB. Because they have James, Derwin James, fantastic pickup.
Balling out.
Absolute baller on the back end.
So a lot of teams, Barry's wishing that the fucking Bucks had taken him. But like bringing him down to the line of scrimmage, dude, he is killing it off the edge. The only problem is, Barry called, I could have quoted this wrong, where he said like Rivers is like the king of like, nonsense time TDs and stuff like that there.
Yeah.
It used to be fucking Blake Bortles was the nonsense time of yardage, getting his stats up. But the Rams, or the Chargers, they just seem to like have a slow start and then they get their kickstart going.
Mm.
But there was a lot of passes from Rivers the other day to the likes of Keenan Allen that against another team, they would have been catches and touchdowns.
Yeah.
Just the Rams secondary is so good, you know? So...
And they're deep there because they have Sam Shields as well, who's able to step in there.
The Chargers are just notoriously slow starters and injury.
Very injury prone.
Every year.
Yeah. They have a course or a bug going on there or something. Right, we'll leave that for our pick six. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back with the 2-point conversion for week four. So I don't mean to brag, but I had a pretty good week in our DraftKings Fantasy Football League. We've got 70 people in it. I actually won over the weekend, so that was nice. I think I won about 60 quid for beer money, so that was fantastic. You can also get bragging rights and huge cash prizes this weekend and all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. How big, do I hear you ask? We're talking over $2 million in total prizes. You can draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. You are the GM, just choose your players, stay under the 50k salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against me and the lads. Come at me, try and win me money off me. I'm ready and waiting always. So if you've been thinking about trying one-week fantasy football, now is the time to play. Nothing makes Football Sunday more exciting. I get a lot of excitement there, but anyway, than having a DraftKings lineup on the line. And you can play free with your first deposit to compete for your share of over $2 million and be in our league, which is fucking great fun. So go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use code PADDY, P-A-D-D-Y, to enter a free contest for free on us with your first deposit and compete for your share for all that cash money that I spoke about. So that's code PADDY, P-A-D-D-Y, only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, Jer, it's getting late here. Let's get our 2-point conversion boxed off for week four, the 2018 NFL season. Thursday night football game. So if you're listening to this, the podcast is out today. If you are listening to it, the game hasn't started yet. If you listen to it anytime after the game tonight, you will obviously have watched the game. So this will be irrelevant. So we have the 1-1-1, which sounds very fucking weird when you say that, Vikings at the Rams, who are unbeaten at 3-0. We mentioned earlier on, my points, shit show in Minnesota. Vikings O-line was bad. I think that could be bad for them against Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. My second point is, well, it's a follow-on, really. The DL for the Rams, I feel, will expose that Vikings offensive line very badly. And they will need to, because they're kind of lacking in talent now on the back end without Tlaib and maybe not Pierce. So I reckon they'll really want to get pressure on and just hope that the ball doesn't really come over the top too much. But I think the Rams are winning, by the way.
Little nugget, courtesy of NFL.com. The first Thursday night game at the LA Coliseum in NFL history.
Oh, wow. Is it a color rush game or no? I don't know when they have they done away with the color rush.
Looks similar to color rush, and then you're told they're not color rush. But I'm gonna go with a Rams win here, and I'm putting it down to one point that you mentioned is the Rams defensive line.
Yeah,
the Vikings O line is so terrible, and the Rams so D-line
terrible
is so good, and I think they're gonna be in Kirk Cousins' face all night. Second point is the Rams offense. I think can dictate the game. Now, they're very pretty much come out fast, come out fast, come out fast.
Yeah.
But I think with the absence of Peters and the absence of Tlaib, they won't want Thielen and Diggs going off. So they'll make sure that their drives last a long time. They'll control the ball time, keep the Vikings offense off the field.
Yeah.
Plus, you don't have Everson Griffin. I don't know if he's going to play.
Yeah,
he's
too busy
threatening to shoot people at the weekend in a hotel.
That's bad.
Alcohol, drugs, didn't.
That sounds very bad.
What was going on? So he's, fingers crossed, he's getting looked after and he's in recovery himself. Love to see him back. He's a fucking wrecker on that defensive line.
He is. He's an animal, yeah.
So, yeah, and it's at home, you know. I just think Sean McVay is a smart guy, and the Vikings, where everybody goes, the Vikings are looking so good. They haven't looked so good in the first few weeks here.
Oh, you had them going all the way to the big game.
A
and
lot of
now
people did, you know.
And a little bit iffy on them now, but maybe they'll right the ship. I just can't see it happening in the Thursday night game.
No, so not against the Rams.
Yeah, too much of a big ask. So we've all got the Rams there. Mm-hmm. 1 o'clock games. We have the 2-1 Bengals at the 1-2 Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
My 2 points. Andy Dalton, first QB since Matt Ryan in 2016. To throw 4 touchdowns in a first half, would you believe?
There you go.
And now the two quarterbacks face off against each other. Point number 2 for me, Falcons are, I know we love nuggets on this show. Falcons are 1-5 versus their last 6 AFC teams.
Mm.
And now they are facing another AFC team. So therefore, I'm going with the Bengals.
Oh, wow. So this is a matchup of the two top wide receivers from the NFL 2011 draft, AJ Green and Julio Jones.
Nice.
Right.
Both from SEC schools. AJ Green went to Georgia, I believe.
I think he did, yeah. Julio to Alabama.
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Bengals to win. I said after...
I got the impression you were going to go Falcons there. Surprised.
I thought about it, but like the Bengals are a good team. They moved the ball well against the Panthers. Again, I went with them last week, but Panthers are a different animal at home. Falcons just lost Ricardo Allen.
Yeah.
Yes, they're two starting safeties and Deion Jones, their linebacker, gone. You cannot overlook that at all.
By the way, he unfollows the Paddy Pigskin Instagram account.
Did
Wasn't
he?
Wasn't fucking happy with that,
These guys are searching for likes, so they are on their own pages.
Wankers.
But as I said, the Bengals played really well last week, you know, so, but I just think when you're missing that much talent off your defense, you just can't operate, you know.
Yep.
So Bengals to win this one.
Okay, next up we have your 2-1 Eagles at the 2-1 Titans. And I will say the Titans are, as well as being the bogey team for the Jacksonville Jaguars, they are my bogey team because I just fucking can never get them right because I don't know what team is going to show up. I'm 0-3 picking them so far.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that I get it right.
You're going with the Titans?
All will be revealed. Okay. I'm going to get my 2 point out there. For me personally, two offenses that haven't really impressed so far. I wouldn't be surprised if the under is 40 points here. I'm kind of torn. I'm going to go Titans. And I'm going to say it could be sloppy.
There you go. Well, I was meant to be at this game because I work with a fella who will be coming on the show.
Who used
to play for the Titans. And this was due to be their alumni game. So he was like, come on down with
me. It's Chris Johnson, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris Johnson. Works with me now. Things aren't going too well. He's ended up in Texas. But we were meant to go down there, hang out. He knows Conklin and all the boys. You know, he went to MSU.
That's right.
And then they changed the game to the Jets in December. I think they wanted a game they could possibly win.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm going to go Eagles. One, because I think Wentz, he's keeping the defense off the field. He's extending the plays. And two, then I think our defense will hopefully do well based on the fact is you got their backup QBs out with a concussion and their starting QB can't feel his hand. They essentially won the game last week against the Jaguars by using Mariota as a running back. You know, but every other team's losing players. The Eagles players are coming back.
That's
Sproles
a good point,
is back. JJ is back. Timmy Jernigan will be coming back soon enough. Alshon Jeffrey got cleared today.
That's right.
So as every other team is losing players to injuries, the Eagles are the only team that's getting players back from injuries.
I'm worried about my pick now. Now do you talk about all these fucking players coming back? I'll stick with it.
I don't know.
Next up, we have the 2-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. They are at the 2-1 Chicago Bears. Fitzy kind of melted down a little bit with his 3 picks and then unmelted again to ball out in the second half on Monday night against the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first real defense he faces this year. And it could be a little bit bad timing because you got Jameis is now looking over his shoulder. I think if he has a bad game or two, people are like, oh, we want Jameis again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bears will win, and I don't think it'd be Mitch Trubisky that wins a farm. I just think like that Bears defense has been fucking fantastic so far.
Yeah,
I think they'll keep him in it, and I think Mitch Trubisky will, as he has done before, do just enough.
Yeah. So as the NFL calls it, battle of the surprising first place teams. So I think the Bears will win primarily down to their defense. And I think the other reason is there's just going to be so much pressure on the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Everybody thought that they were this great ass team. And then Fitzy goes to the three consecutive ins, which we did talk about. One of them was deflected at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, not much you can do about that.
One of those stats, you just have to take it on the chin. But they did come back well, and they could have won, where I just think this defense is not going to let them do it. It's week four. That's game four now for Khalil Mack. So his conditioning's gotten better. He's gotten faster. As you said, I don't think it'll be Trubisky that will win it for them, but I think the offense will do enough that they get the Bears to it. I don't think they're going to be as slow starters as they were this past weekend.
And by the way, that pick six that they got, that was called back, that would have cost me the money in the DraftKings competition. I had this weird feeling in my stomach. I was like, they're going to get a fucking pick six here.
So were you saying like, Khalil, I'll give you $20 on top of your $170 million?
So I was quite happy that was called back. Next up, we have the 1-2 Detroit Lions, fresh off a win against the 1-2 Cowboys. So my 2 points are, Lions are another one of those tough teams to trust. Like, they've shown to be Jekyll and Hyde in the space of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, fantastic performance, which I kind of expected Matt Patricia to put up a good fight against the Patriots, given his history with the team. And Dak seems to be getting worse. He's relying heavily on Ezekiel Elliott.
And they should have just gave the ball to Zeke more. Yeah. They just did not give it to him at all.
Like,
they
just went away. He's regressing quite badly.
The Cowboys, whoever the play caller is there, needs a kick in, right? It's literally, it's like, run Zeke, 7 yards. Okay, let's pass the ball now. Oh, we didn't get it. Let's pass again. Up, punt. Then it's pass, up, run, punt. You know, they just don't have a consistent way of calling the game plan, the scheme here. And Zeke got like 130 yards or something, I think, on Sunday. And they just stopped giving the ball. I did fucking laugh.
Keep feeding them.
I did laugh, though, when the ball was ripped out of his hand. I fucking laughed. I'm going to go with the Lions in this one. Did you say who you were going with? I think I cut across you there.
I didn't, actually, because I totally forgot to do it. I'm going to go with... There's a few tough games this week.
Yeah.
Looking through, there's a few tough games. I'm going to go with the Lions, actually.
Yeah. This is one of the ones I think, is it tough? Is it tough? No, it's not tough. Cowboys suck. They've got no receiving game. There's all this thing about them being in the preseason. They look good. They've shit the bed. Their defense is looking good.
Yeah.
You know, but again, Sean Lee dropped with an injury. So they're lucky they picked up Van Der Esch there to fill in here. Jalen Smith is playing well. That D-line didn't do anything at the weekend against the Seahawks. And Russell Wilson had a field day. So I think the Lions, again, as you said, a bit of Jekyll and Hyde. I think the first game against the Jets was like whatever, like you 3 or 4 ins from Matt Stafford there. One of them was a pick six. They totally had the Patriots number, which I didn't think was going to happen. I predicted the Patriots would win. I did not think that they would be held to what they were held to. So I think the Lions come into Texas and win out.
Dallas is in Texas.
I was going to say Dallas, but the stadium isn't in Dallas.
That's true.
I couldn't remember the name.
Arlington.
Arlington.
I should know, given I was only there a few months ago. Yeah, Arlington, Texas. Next up, we have the 1-2 Bills are going up against some more NFC North competition. They travel to Lambeau to face again 1-1.
Before
and
you
one.
Pick your team, I want to give you a nugget, but give out your stats first.
Okay. I read a report there that they're saying Rodgers' knee probably won't get better with rest, interestingly enough. It's just like he would have to probably get operated on, whatever's going on in there. That's a fucking big problem, first of all. But I still think, I mean, that was a great performance from the Bills and all, but it's just a very small sample size. And we all know on any given Sunday, I just need to see more before I can start consistently picking them. So I think he can cobble together enough to get past Buffalo and the Packers win.
No, okay. listen to me when I say don't give your answer yet, but the Bills have five straight wins against NFC North teams.
Really?
I would never have thought. That's why I wanted you to see, hold off if that changed your mind.
Well, hopefully now it's gotta be 5-1.
So now Packers, I just think even though his knee's not good, I don't think the Bills will get that performance that they got last week against the Vikings. I think Rodgers' line protects him a little bit better, and he's a smart QB as well. And then I just think the Packers' defense is a lot better, especially in the secondary. Even though they played an amazing secondary last week, I think the Vikings, unfortunately, were the blueprint for the Packers and what they have to do this week and not let Josh Allen do. And let's see, what's the over-under in Clay Matthews getting a roughing the passer call on Josh Allen? I don't think so. It's 6'7".
We have another divisional clash. We have the 0-3 Houston Texans at the 1-2 Colts. Any nuggets before I crack on?
It literally from the NFL's look in the Indianapolis offense versus what in the Houston defense.
Jesus, that's a bit of a disrespect.
Struggling there, aren't they?
I think there'll be serious heat on Bill O'Brien here if he goes on. He's on the hot seat, I think.
He is top two coaches signed into contracts for length.
Really, yeah? After John Gruden?
Because he just signed at the end of last season for an extension.
If they go on
so far. Gruden's number one, then it's Bill O'Brien.
Jesus. Well, I still think there'll be serious pressure mounting on him 100%. If they go on. Because on paper, they are fucking fantastically talented. Yeah, I think on paper, they're more talented than the Colts. Picks
for win that division.
But they just haven't been able to put it together.
Yeah.
I got the Colts winning.
Oh, I did not see that one coming.
I did slate them, I couldn't say.
I just
not so fast, my friend. The Texans are going to win. No, I got the Colts
I'm
winning.
I'm going with the Texans. You know, they had a terrible game plan at the start of fucking last week, and then they eventually got it together against the Giants, and they couldn't do much. Watt's playing out of this world. He's like back to the old JJ Watt. It's Clowney's getting, he's not really done much. Maybe he gets there. Again, this is a patchwork Colts O-line. It's not like up there yet.
Yeah.
So, and I just think, as you said, the pressure's on the Texans. I just don't think they can shit the bed again and go 0-4. I just don't see them going 0-4.
Okay. We have the Jets 1-2 at the other the Jags 2-1. As we mentioned earlier, point number one, that the Titans are just the bogey team for the Jags. Teams just have bogey teams. The Jags are that for the Titans, or the other way around, rather. And I think they need Fournette healthy because they need to make Bortles do less.
Well, you know, they actually have better, they have more points when Fournette doesn't play.
Really?
They're a better team when he doesn't play.
No fucking way.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus. That's a fact. So with TJ Yeldon in there, they're better.
They're better because they don't feel as if they have to give him the ball.
That's a very good point. Yeah, I wouldn't have never thought of that, but I don't know, we just like having...
So you're going with the Jets then?
Oh, no, I'm going with the Jags. I still think they'll have enough. I think it could be a rough day for Sam Darnold there. Yeah. Rookie... going up against a defense like that that has skilled players all over the field, I think they'll make life a little bit rough.
I'm going to go with the Jags myself.
Yep.
Point number one, Sam Darnold can't really throw outside the numbers, and when he does, he puts all of his strength that he has there to get it into that spot. He's a fan of trying to make things happen, you know, when he's flushed out, or a bit like Jameis Winston, you know, where he's getting tackled, he'll throw the ball up.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, he will pull out some unbelievable plays.
Yeah.
But I just think this is not the defense that you can do this against. This will be picked off and this will be ran home.
Yeah. You're all lined up getting upended.
So that's one point the Jaguars defense is going to kill the game. And then you got players like fucking Dede Westbrook coming out this week saying Blake Bortles can be as good as Tom Brady. What the fuck are you smoking in Jacksonville, mate? Like, get over this guy. He's a terrible QB. He's holding this team back. You know, if you fucking traded for Tyrod Taylor or whoever it is, like, here's, you know, we'll get that when we speak about the Niners game, but I think they'll just do enough against this Jets. I don't think they'll rely heavily on the run game just because of how good the Jets front line is.
Yeah.
So I think it could be similar to what the Patriots were, like a dink and dunk passes, but they're going to look at what the Titans done well to stop this Jags offense, but I think the Jags win out easy.
Do you know what? I just noticed I skipped over the Dolphins and Pats. That is also a 1 o'clock game, but they just skipped over it.
Haven't gotten there yet.
I had my little list, and that wasn't on it. The Dolphins 3-0 at the 1-2 Pats.
Mm-hmm.
My heart really wants to say the Dolphins.
What did you say for Pats? 1-1?
1-2.
Okay.
My heart really wants to say the Dolphins. And they have they have beaten the Pats 4 times in 5 years. So they have history on their side.
But are they all in Miami, those wins? I think they are.
I'm not sure.
As good as they... The Pats are shite in Miami. Miami are terrible when they come to
Tom Brady doesn't play well in like really warm weather, isn't it? Just like Jacksonville. Can't see the Pats losing 3 in a row, despite the lack of offensive pop that they have going on. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to see a team like the Patriots go 3 losses in a row. So I got them winning. Miami. I know a lot of our Dolphin buddies that listen, Stephen Butler will slate me because he has already called as the Dolphins winning, but I got the Pats winning.
Is he fucking, Jesus Christ, check the water in Dublin. But Miami's looking for its first 4-0 start since 95.
As I said earlier,
I think they're pretenders. You know,
spoofers.
Like that first game was like a 7.5 hour game against the Titans. You know, it's just
like that fucking Red Sox game. We just left
the Jets. Outplayed them more yards than them up in New Jersey, but they kept throwing interceptions in the red zone or just not getting scores when they're in the red zone.
Yep.
Last week's game, the Raiders should have put that to bed and they didn't. So as you said. Have the Patriots ever gone 1-3 in Tom Brady's fucking era with Belichick? I don't think so. And Foxborough is going to be insane on Sunday. Everybody's just going to be home. You could have Josh Gordon there. So it'll be interesting to see. But I have the Patriots winning.
Okay. Late games, we have the 1-1-1 Browns. Poor old Steve's 0-3 Raiders. Mm-hmm. Point number one, what more can you say about Baker Mayfield? He fucking
baller.
Did it. He called did the
it.
Job, baller.
Called it.
We celebrated that win, I think, like Ireland just won the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
It was good fun.
With Gary with a slice of pepperoni in his mouth, me with some mussels.
Jer ordered mussels randomly when the rest was eating pizza, but no judgment here. And the Raiders have, of course, blown halftime leads in all 3 losses.
Mm-hmm.
Worrying time for Raiders fans. I have them losing again here. 0-4.
This is the Browns' 30th different starting QB since 1999.
Jesus.
Insane. I have the Browns winning here. One. Browns are just... They're a really good team. Like, on paper, they're a good team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just the coaching and some of the play calling at times. You'd wonder, what the hell are you doing? But I think Mayfield in it. It's in Oakland. He's going to get a tough time from those fans. He is going to get a tough time. But, you know, again, as we talked about Bill O'Brien, the fucking pressure has to be on Gruden. Like, I have them going 0-4 here.
Yeah.
You know, and they should have won 2 of at least 3 of their first games not to be in this position and at least coming out with a 500 record. They're going 0-4.
Okay. Next up, we have a NFC West clash. The 1-2 Seahawks at the also team with no wins. 0-3 Cardinals. My fourth point, Cardinals are dead last in rushing.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, given they have like one of the best running backs. Can't protect him. I think that means Rosen is going to get a fair crack this week. He only got the comeback situation last week against the Bears. But the Hawks defense won't be as tough as the Bears.
No.
I think that's safe to say that they're not on the same level. So I think Wilson and the Seahawks get a road win here.
Yep, I think the Seahawks are going to go to 500, get the win. Is Josh Rosen making his first career NFL starts? So he's going to be a bit nervous, although he seems to have the confidence, you know. He just threw the int and he got on with it, you know.
That's life.
But he is a tough ask. You know, they're just that is just not a talented team there in Arizona.
Yeah, not much talent
and
around.
They're going to go 0-4. And Steve Wilkes, you know, it's just one of these things.
Rough first year for him.
They just couldn't see the fucking win out last week. You know, they had it there, and they just couldn't see it out.
Yeah. Moving on to a West Coast clash, we got the 1-2 49ers at the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the kind of 1-2 record for the Chargers is deceiving because they've lost to 2 of the 3 unbeaten teams.
Yeah.
So you got to give them credit for that. But it's hard to see the 49ers going much further now without Jimmy G. Unless they trade for a quarterback. So I got the Chargers winning by 2 scores here.
Here's one. Do you think the Jets fucking regret letting Teddy Bridgewater go so early now? Fucking hell.
When they saw what they could have got.
You know?
Yeah.
I've got the Chargers winning here, bringing the record to 2-2. like they're putting points up in games, they're conceding points as well. And what the Niners have been doing, or what they've been conceding points, and that they've been scoring points to begin with, depending on the team going, but then they struggle on the defense, the team start getting back into the game.
Mm.
AKA the Lions that time. The, if there was another maybe 10 minutes, the Lions probably could have blown them out of that. But I have the Chargers winning here on the Battle of the West Coast.
Okay. Then we got the Saints 2-1 at my 1-2 New York Giants in MetLife. Point number one for me, Giants benched Flowers and they started Chad Wheeler at right tackle. But he still got beaten all day long by JJ Watt.
Battered.
But to be fair, Eloy got it out quick. And everybody got targets, like Odell got it, Shepard got it, Barkley did his thing, like even Rhett Ellison, for fuck's sake, who was a blocking tight end, he even got a touchdown. So to be fair to Eloy, he got the ball out quick because he needed to, but I just can't see him hanging with Drew Brees, and the game is projected to be 50 points.
Yeah,
I see
so
that.
NFL calls it, the NFL says Barkley and Beckham Jr. versus the struggling Saints D. And again, they done it well in the first half. As we talked about when we were in Fenway, they got the ball out, dropping it to Shepard, Barkley, Odell for 5 yards, and let them take it whatever distance they were. Second half changed when Houston changed up the way they were sending the pressures onto it, and Eli just wasn't himself, and J.J. Watt was just killing them. But as I said, trying to keep up with Breeze is going to be tough.
Yeah.
If the Saints defense can just stop the Giants on some possessions, then I think the Saints will win this, yeah.
Okay, and then we got the Sunday night game, which is a belter. The 2-1 Ravens at the 1-1-1. Keep fucking saying that. That's the fourth time I've had to say it. Pittsburgh Steelers, and it looks like Bell and Steelers is a thing of the past now at this stage.
Yeah, we brought it up. I think we should end that conversation. Like the only reason it's probably relevant this week is because they said they opened to trade offers.
Yeah,
you know, like last week we were like, this is gone. This guy's just gonna wait till week 10. Now it's like, oh,
they're ghosting each other
offers,
now.
You know,
why not?
You know, it's like
straight up. And here's a great stat: Ravens are 12-for-12 in touchdowns inside the red zone so far.
Very efficient.
So they're punching it in. Very, very efficient. It's a tricky one. I'm gonna go with the Steelers. Steelers at home to the Ravens. Like they did put up a lot of points in Tampa Bay, and they spread the wealth somewhat, like Vance McDonald, for fuck's sake, got in on the act with that amazing stiff arm.
Yeah.
Just buried Chris Conte there for a 75-yard touchdown, I think. Just think they have too many weapons when Big Ben gets the ball out.
Odd. Fucking 75-yard touchdown. The 275-yard touchdowns against the Eagles as well.
A little bit of that, you confirmed.
But no, I think the Steelers will win this just because it's in Pittsburgh. If it was in Baltimore,
different
I would
story.
Probably go with the Ravens, but solely because the Steelers are at home.
Okay. And then we will wrap it up with the Monday night football game. The 3-0 Kansas City Chiefs at divisional foes, the Broncos 2-1. My first point, the Chiefs defense, they're not really doing Mahomes much favors.
A bit of pressure on the front line, but
he has to keep
really
scoring.
Yeah,
I can't see the Broncos really slowing down all the weapons like we spoke about.
No.
We're speaking about at the game. He has loads of weapons with Kareem Hunt, Watkins, Kelce, Hill. Like even when they're sticking in the Anthony Thomas there, they have another guy that can make plays.
Yeah.
Andy Reid has a lot of creativity at his disposal.
Disposal.
I need more coffee. It's getting too fucking late here.
Yeah.
I got the Chiefs winning this.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to go 4-0. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about Mahomes MVPs before, and then other people saying actually it's Tyreek Hill. Like that fucking pass last week, dude. Mahomes to Tyreek Hill for the catch when there was three defenders around Tyreek Hill and he outjumped them all. They're just on a different level, the Chiefs. Again, we said this last year and then they slowed down a bit, but I don't think this team's going to slow down just yet. But as you said, the offense needs to keep scoring because the defense keeps conceding.
Fair enough.
And I don't think the Broncos in fucking Case Keenum will be able to kill them that much. And the one thing I like about Case Keenum, he's a gunslinger. He doesn't care. He throws an in-ground. Next ball, I'm gunning at 70 yards again. You know, so...
Chiefs winning.
Chiefs winning, yeah.
Okay. That wraps it up. There was two teams on a bye, which we didn't talk about.
The
Panthers
and the Redskins.
Panthers and the Washington Pro Football Team have a week off. A bit early for a bye week. Week four, I think it should be at least 6 weeks of football. So it's kind of spacing it out, you know. So it's a long road ahead for them.
That's it. 12 know, consecutive weeks.
That's very, very heavy.
In the head of each other.
But it is what it is. Grant, we'll leave it at that for episode 44 with you, Jer.
Perfect, thank you.
AKA the 50th episode we've done. Crazy to think how far we've come in such a short space of time, but here we are. We're having good crack down it.
Jesus Christ, and to think the first episode was on our glass table in our apartment, you know?
That's right.
Now
we got our little Fenway studio here. Fantastic stuff. Grant, thanks very much, Jer. We'll leave it at that. Now, I did say that Paddy's Picks are back for 2018 for all you fantasy football fans, with a juicy twist for it this year. So we are going up against our friends at Cover Zero, the Cover Zero podcast. They have their Cover Zero Zingers, one player for each offensive position and the defensive special teams. Best team at the end of the year. There's going to be some sort of horrific forfeit on the line. I don't know what it is yet, but no doubt it's going to be absolutely disgusting. So quarterback, staying with the hot hand this week, Matt Ryan going up against the Bengals. He has scored an impressive 9 touchdowns so far. Bengals have given up 8 touchdowns so far to QBs. So start Matt Ryan at the Falcons. Running back, Alvin Kamara has a good matchup this week, sadly to say, against my Giants in MetLife. Vegas expects it to be a 50-plus points game. He had an astounding 20 targets versus the Falcons in week 3. So Calvin Kamara is my running back. Wide receiver, another saint, unfortunately, this week in Michael Thomas from D. Ohio State, who's caught an absolute mind-boggling 38 of 40 balls so far. He also has a favourable matchup according to PFF, who was 59th in cornerbacks. That man is Janoris Jenkins of my Giants. So start Michael Thomas. Tight end, hard to look past the Chiefs tight end, Travis Kelce, who seems to be a lock at the number one ranked tight end of fantasy rankings anywhere I've looked. The Broncos D has struggled against tight ends, giving up an average of 18 points per game. So Travis Kelce of the Chiefs. Defense and special teams, Jags kind of average so far, but I predict a much better performance against rookie QB Sam Darnold and the Jets this week. Could be a double-digit radar performance for the Jags defense. And kicker, old man Vinny, he's my kicker of the week. Adam Vinatieri has scored 10-plus points in 2 of his first 3 games. And the Texans are averaging 9 points to kicker. So start Vinny. That's my Paddy's Picks going up against the Cover Zero Zingers for the first time this week and for the rest of the season. So make sure you keep tabs on their progress. And that will do it for episode 44, or our 50th episode of Paddy Pigskin. Thanks very much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. Keep checking us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And like I said, feel free to review us on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. We're everywhere. It helps us out a lot. It means a lot to us to get feedback. Very much appreciated. So tune in next week where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care. Take a look. Hey, I'm a bar spitter. I'm a hard hitter. Yeah, I'm light skinned, but I'm still a dark nigga. I'm a wig splitter. I'm a tall figure. I'm an unforgiving, wild ass dog nigga. Something wrong with him. Got him all bitter. I'm a bill printer. I'm a grave digger. Yeah, I am what I am. I don't have no time for no misunderstandings again. It's a rollie, not a stop. Watch shit, don't never stop. Future took the business and ran it for me. I let Ollie take the aisle, told him brand it for me. I get 2 million a pop and that's standard for me. Like I went blind, dog, you gotta hand it to me. Gotta give me that shit, dog. Prayed, then I prayed again. Amen, Lord. Had a moment, but it came and went. They don't love you no more. Y'all don't wanna play with him, no, no, no. There'll be morning, you like 8 a.m. Pinky ring till I get a wedding ring. Whoa, yeah. Love my brothers, cut them in on anything. Peace, nice. And you know it's King Slime, Drizzy Dan. Whoa, yeah. She just said I'm bae, I hit the thizzle dance. Matt Dre shit. Either hand is the upper hand. Whoa, yeah, shit. Got a bubba on my other hand. Whoa, yeah, shit, yeah. This shit ain't no 100 bands. No, 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 no. Palace look like Buckingham. Bill's so big, I call him Williams for real. Reasons to go crazy, got a trillion for real. They been trying me, but I'm resilient for real.
I can't go in public like civilian, for real. And I hardly take offense. Money for revenge, man, that's hardly an expense. I'll hammer checks off of all of my events. I like all the profit, man, I hardly do percents. I don't do that shit. A big part of me resents niggas that I knew from when I started in this shit. They see what I got, and man, it's hard to be content. Fuck what they got going on, I gotta represent. Hey. This a rollie, not a stop. Watch shit don't never stop. This the flow that got the block hot. Shit got super hot.